We're really blessed today because our guest speaker is my sister, Pastor Pamela Hannafeld. Now, Pamela pastors a wonderful church down in Carlisle called City View Church. It's also a missions-minded church like ours. Very vibrant church, a wonderful church. She's a wonderful pastor and she's a wonderful sister, older sister. She's your younger sister, really. She's my younger sister. Could you put your hands together as she comes to minister the word? Thank you, Pastor Pamela.
Well, good morning, everyone. Love to you from City View Church. I feel like I've got an investment in this church because every Sunday morning, Dave and I have got a little bit of a ritual going. He sends me a loving text wishing me all the best in City View Church, and I send him a text in return, and then we both pray for each other's church, which is nice. We get off the phone and then we pray. So I feel I have an investment with you. You're my brothers and sisters, and it is so good to be here. Now, I've got to tell them the truth, though, David. This is the return of a favour, because in March we had, City of the Church had its big Mission Sunday where we advertise all our missionaries and we get the church to pledge for the next year of giving. And we had a guest speaker coming, but two or three days beforehand, she got really, really sick and the doctor said to her, do not get on that plane. So I was in a pickle. We had no speaker. So I thought, what does a girl do? She phones her older brother. Because he's older, he's just that little bit wiser and he will know what to do. So I phoned him and I begged him, please, David, we really need a good speaker because I want to raise some good funds for our missionaries. Please, you've got to help us. And David said, you know, this is a big one, Pamela. I said, yeah, I know. You've just been on holiday. You're supposed to be preaching at your church, but I really need you to come. What coffee do you want? I'll have a coffee at the door waiting for you. So it'll be there for you. He told me what coffee he wants. I said, I'll preach for you on Mother's Day. And I'll even tell my church that you're younger than me. You know, I was impressed with how kind I was towards him. And he said, he went away and then he came back and he said, okay, I'll do it for you. Well, he came and he preached up a storm. He was brilliant. And he jumps everywhere when he preaches, you know. And I thought, if I come to his church, I can't do that. He's very active when he preaches, very inspiring. And I don't know whether I told you this, but the church have pledged more than what they did the year before. So we can, hallelujah. So we can keep our 11 teams on the mission field and we're really grateful for that. So that was really good. And then afterwards, you know, everyone loved David. You just have to love David, don't you? He's one of my favourite preachers. And then a week or two later, I thought, I wonder if he remembered about Mother's Day. No, I probably didn't. That's all right. Then 3 weeks ago, right in the middle of the week, I got this business phone call from my brother. There wasn't any niceties around it, you know, like, hey, you're going, having a good day. It was, right, Mother's Day. Will you preach on Mother's Day? And I said, oh, so you remembered. He went, yes. Yes, I did. I said, okay. So this is paybacks, but I don't have to tell your people that you are younger. I have to put it right. But it's good to be here. Okay, could we have that first photo that you've got? This is for you, Rochelle, because you are the queen of photos. You love photos. I don't think I know anyone that has a greater respect for photos than Rochelle. And never tell Rochelle that you've thrown photos away. That will upset her for a whole week. This is a photo of my brother and myself, 1970. We'd been in Australia for about, I don't know, 9 months, and we were fully Australian by then. Put the photo back up. That's such a good one. I actually look young there. That's great. I should do because I'm seven. Some of my earliest, fondest memories are of me playing Lego with my older brother David in the early 70s. Back then, Lego was mainly a toy for boys. I was blessed to have an older brother because it meant that I got to play with the Lego too. We would spend hours and hours on a hot summer afternoon building things in the front wide hallway of our weatherboard home in Belmont. That house is no longer there. I found Lego to be so much fun that I made sure my children played with it a couple of decades later. And now, of course, well over half a century later, I have a whole heap of Duplo, which is the largest version of Lego, stashed in the grandchildren's toy box at my house. I have 14 grandchildren. It is very expensive at Christmas time. If the grandchildren get bored, I say to them when they're at my house, go and build something. If they're looking like they don't want to, I offer suggestions as to what they could build. We need a dog kennel. We need a zoo. We need a boat to get away from the crocodiles swimming around the house who are ready to eat bored children. Can you remember those crocodiles Dad used to talk to us about? In the house that was swimming around, we used to try and get on the lounge with him, and he kept pushing you off, and I got to stay on the lounge. That's John Warwick. He was a great dad. To me, anyway. I'd say to the grandchildren, go and build me something, and off they go to build me their masterpiece. There's something about the sound of children happily playing Lego together. I love it. The clinking of the bricks, the gentle humming of their playful voices. It tells me that I can freely get on with the housework. Hallelujah! It's interesting, when the very young ones want to build something that needs a little more planning, normally children just want to rush in and build. But some structures, particularly the tall ones, require the children to sit and plan. In time, they arrive at the fact that anything big or grand, which needs to stand tall for some period of time, is going to require a firm, solid foundation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that we will open our hearts to your sound advice this morning. You laid the foundations of the earth. The whole universe has been established by you and through you and upon you. There is no architect or designer who knows what you know. Help us to listen and imitate the master designer. Amen. Please turn with me to Psalm 118, verse 22. And of course, we've got it on the screen. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Throughout the Bible, often the word cornerstone pops up. And if you've never been into architecture, the symbolic significance of this term or word can easily be overlooked. To be blunt, you don't want to miss the significance of this word. As a young Christian, I read over it for years without knowing what it really meant. I don't want you to have my experience, so buckle up and get ready for the ride. It's not a long ride, but get ready to learn. Keep your attention on me. Since ancient times, a cornerstone traditionally has been the principal stone, which often was the first stone placed at the corner of a building that formed its base. The cornerstone was the first, the most important stone laid at the corner of the foundation of a building. Once it was set in place, it determined every measurement in the construction of the building. Everything was aligned to it. I'm saying that again because it is so important. Once the cornerstone was set in place, it determined every measurement in the construction of the building. Everything was aligned to it. And because of this, a cornerstone marks the geographical location of a building by orienting a building in a specific direction. You want the window overlooking that view? Well, the cornerstone needs to be laid over here at this angle. Everything is determined by the placement of the cornerstone. Could we have a look at some of those pictures of cornerstone examples? Have we got it there? There's one. Got a date on it. Have you got another one there? That's just that one? You didn't get the other one? It wasn't good enough, was it, David? It wasn't good enough for you, was it? You had to get the other one. He changed my sermon, everybody. I wanted that one. That's all right. You can tell I'm a sister, can't you? I can imagine the selecting of the cornerstone would not be taken lightly. The builders, I'm sure, would sort through a lot of stones, many being rejected, before they get to the one that is just right for the job. After all, such an important stone would need to be made of dense matter. You wouldn't want a porous soft rock, would you? It would need to be dense. It would also need to be rather large and have straight edges. Cornerstones have been used for a long, long time, for millennia, in some shape or form. Now, in ancient Egyptian and Mesopotamian cultures, which is the background of the Bible, the equivalent of a groundbreaking ceremony was the foundation ritual, the laying of the cornerstone. The laying of the cornerstone of significant structures was a party time, because with the laying of the all-important cornerstone, they would have a fancy ceremony for the purpose of invoking the gods to protect the structure being built. Archaeological digs have discovered that foundation deposits, or hollowed out stones filled with small vessels, animal deposits, and other symbolic items, were standard in the construction of temples, palaces, tombs, and forts. And depending on the type of structure, these deposits were often placed at the corners of the buildings where the cornerstone was. This ensured that the trinkets were preserved with the structure throughout its life until demolition, as the last thing to go would be the cornerstone. So looking back at the world view in biblical times, there was not just physical significance to laying of the all-important cornerstone, but there was also serious spiritual significance. So serious that ritualistic ceremonies were held to invoke the blessing and protection of false gods upon the structure to be built. So now, let me bring Jesus into the picture. And I love bringing Jesus into the picture. Throughout the Old Testament, before God came to the earth as Jesus, there is reference to his coming. And often in the referencing, they would refer to Jesus, the coming Messiah, as being a cornerstone. For example, Psalm 118, verse 22 to 23. Let's have a look at that scripture. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. I'm reading that again. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Isaiah 28 verse 16 says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily." I'm going to read that one again. These are brilliant scriptures. Behold, this is prophetic. I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Now, just let me say that when the Bible refers to Zion, it usually means the dwelling place of God. This dwelling place used to be a temple made of stone, but now the dwelling place of God is the church. Not the church building. You are Zion. You are the dwelling place of God. You are the temple of God. I think that's pretty cool because God's temple goes everywhere. It goes everywhere. Wherever you're going this week, you are God's temple and He is going with you because you are Zion. So here we have scriptures predicting the coming of Jesus and referring to Him as the cornerstone of His dwelling place. However, the scripture also says He will be a cornerstone that will be rejected. He will be a cornerstone that will be rejected. A cornerstone that will be rejected. Who rejected Jesus when He came? The religious establishment of Israel, Judaism, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious ones didn't recognize God in the flesh, Jesus. Even though Jesus was a spiritually tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation, the whole universe was brought about through Him. In Him we live and move and have our being, but He wasn't who they thought He should be. God didn't fit into their idea of God. God did not fit into their idea of God. How sad was that? Consequently, they rejected Him and chose a less solid foundation, religion. Religion is a less solid foundation, which of course is a poor foundation. Sadly, instead of the creator of the world being their cornerstone, He became a stumbling block. He became a stumbling block. He tripped them up. His very presence made their prideful, sinful nature fall. How crazy. He should have been their foundation stone, their perfect, eternal cornerstone. Instead, they tripped over Him to their eternal death. Jesus, listen to me now, is either your cornerstone or your stumbling block. Jesus is either your cornerstone or your stumbling block. In 1 Peter 2, verses 6 to 8, this is just an amazing scripture. It says, "See, I am sending Jesus to be the carefully chosen, precious cornerstone of My church, and I will never disappoint those who trust in Him. Yes, He is very precious to you who believe, and to those who reject Him, well, the same stone that was rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone, the most honored and important part of the building. And the scriptures also say He is the stone that some will stumble over and the rock that will make them fall. They will stumble because they will not listen to God's word nor obey it. And so this punishment must follow, that they will fall." They will fall. You couldn't have a more extreme contrast, could you? Cornerstone, stumbling block. Cornerstone, stumbling block. That's the choice they had to make at the time of Christ. And that's the choice we have to make in 2024. It hasn't changed. Is Jesus your cornerstone or stumbling block? He's either the most important part of your foundation, or you will trip over him to your ultimate death. Christianity is a very serious state of being. It's serious stuff. It's not an insurance policy where you sign at the bottom of the page and then continue to live how you want in the hope that that insurance will get paid if anything untoward happens. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is a way of life which begins with Jesus as the sure foundation. He is the cornerstone from which every measurement in the construction of our life should be determined. Yeah. Whatever you want to do, whatever you're going to say, whatever you plan for yourself, where is Jesus in this planning? Everything. Everything. Everything in our life must be aligned with him. Everything. Yes. If it is not, your life will seriously be out of whack. And it might not feel like it to begin with, because what you're doing might make you feel good. Might make you feel really good. But in time, cracks will appear. The building starts to lean seriously. Not good. You will be out of whack. You are building in a crooked manner which will result in your ultimate fall. Metaphorically speaking, life is all about building. That's what we do. We build friendships. We build churches. When I was looking at that photo during the week, I thought, you know, when we're playing Lego in that hallway, God knew that one day both of us will be building churches. And it started with the building of the Lego. We build our education. We build our careers. We make homes. We build investments. We're all always aiming towards something. We're always building something. Let's not rush in to build like a young child playing Lego without first lining up with the cornerstone. I was just speaking to a lovely lady this morning. And you don't know who it is, but she's not going to rush into marriage because she's got a ministry and she's putting Jesus first. That's brilliant. I think, good on you. Put Jesus first. Is Jesus the cornerstone? If he's not, then you are rejecting him. So don't kid yourself. This is a serious message. I make no apologies for it. If he's not your cornerstone, then you, as a builder of your life, are rejecting him. Yeah. Many people, even in church today, still reject Jesus, and they struggle to build their lives, work, even churches, on lesser foundations, on their own dreams, their own feelings, and other unreliable ground. Yet our good Saviour alone should be our strength and defence set at the vital corners of our lives. He provides the only right alignment for anything his believers seek to accomplish for him. He is a perfect foundation. He's solid. He is without error. There's no cracks in him. He is absolutely perfect. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11 says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2 verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. God's made this cornerstone for you. Romans 9, verse 33. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Wow. Let's read that one again. I just love it. It's a delicious scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Jesus offends us sometimes because he's so good. And whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. There is no shame on you if he is your cornerstone. I finish this sermon with two personal questions for you. Listen up. Is Jesus the first stone you lay in any plan you make for your life? Is Jesus the first stone you lay in any plan you make for your life? And number two, and if not, how can you put Jesus at the cornerstone of your plan, building it for him? Because the truth is, whatever we do in life as Christians should really be for him. And if you live life that way, guess who gets blessed? You. You're a blessing to God, but he can't help himself but bless you. Doing things in the way that he tells you to do them brings great blessing. It might not at the time feels like it makes any sense, and you might say, this is going to hurt. This is a bit of a sacrifice on my part. But doing it Jesus' way will bring a blessing on you. I can say this because I'm now 61 and I've experienced it throughout my life. When I've done things God's way, he blesses abundantly. He's a good God. He's a good cornerstone. These two questions are extremely important. Remember, if Jesus isn't your cornerstone, then he will be your stumbling block. You will ultimately trip over him to your eternal death. You got to get it right, people. If the foundation is wrong, the building will collapse. Jesus must be the chief cornerstone by which every measurement is made in your life. If you feel God has been speaking to you through this very basic but all-important message, I want to pray for you right now. So would everyone please close their eyes and bow your heads? If God is speaking to you, no matter how long you've been a Christian, if God is speaking to you, I want you to raise your hand so I can pray a prayer for you. If this sermon, you just know God is hitting a spot in you, he's speaking to you directly. If this is for you, raise your hand so that I can pray for you. Yes, I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand over there. Yes, yes. Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. I praise you, Jesus, for being the chief cornerstone. Only on you can your church and our lives stand. Lord, we don't want to reject you and stumble. Rather, we want to build an everlasting structure called Zion in our life. We want to be where your presence is. So help us Help us to put you first every single day of our lives. Let us not take for granted the significance of you being our cornerstone. And may we constantly align all our plans with you. Lord, as I move my hand across this congregation, may this prayerful declaration be sealed in everyone's heart, including my own, Lord. I pray this in and through the name of Jesus Christ, who is the awesome creator of all things. You know us intimately, Lord. You know us right down to our innermost thoughts. You made us, Lord, and you know what is best for us. So help us all rely on you as our cornerstone. Amen. Amen. Thanks, David.